January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis in your ears. You. Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't ready. A trusted source for the news. I told you niggas. Didn't I tell you about my son Mitchell David Trubisky? I don't even know if that's his middle name, is it?
That is his middle name.
Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you about my son, bro?
How you don't know your son? I told niggas.
That's a good point. I told niggas that the offense was better under him. And I told niggas that that Nick Foles was not the answer. I was okay with Nick Foles when he came out and said, it is what it is. But the offense just looks way better. But this goes to a bigger point. Matt Nagy, if he is to retain his job next year, which I hope he doesn't, should never call another play. Bill Lazor clearly knows what it means to run a simple offense. That's what it is, a simple offense at the very, very, very least. He knows how to run it. You should never see it again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 79th Hallis. If you already didn't know, this is your boy Flo's Andalinium here with brother Scott. Episode 165. Man, I hate the Bears.
We knew because this was gonna happen. We knew, didn't we say, like I said, we are Negro Domuses, man, because we predicted this whole season to a T.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that I have to. Because what did we say? We said, man, I'm going to assume that Deshaun Watson is going to give it to the Bears. Then we said, then all of a sudden you say, would it be funny if the Bears blew them out? And I'd be like, then I started having a bad feeling. I'm like, yeah, Bears are probably going to blow them out. But I didn't expect it to be this dominant. Literally every side of the ball was on one today, from special teams with Cairo Santos to them recovering and causing a fumble, to just good field position coverage. Even on bad punts, they managed to make sure that no return happened. Then the defense just completely slaughtered and completely all over Deshaun Watson. The offense dominated the line of scrimmage. Offensive line dominated the line of scrimmage. It was an overall total and complete domination all side of balls. I mean, remember, after they scored that 7, the next time that the Texans got in a real threatening position was in the third quarter. And they had them at 1st and 10 from, like, I want to say the 5 or the 3. And the Texans didn't score. Deshaun Watson ran it in for what I thought was a touchdown, not called a touchdown. He gets injured briefly. I think he just probably had a little stinger or something, or briefly hurt his throwing hand. I don't know if he got hit in the balls. AJ McCarron comes in, immediately sacked. It was just destruction. I mean, and the tone of the game was set the moment that David Montgomery got past the first got past the line of scrimmage and got past the linebackers and got up into second gear and got him to the other part of the field. I keep forgetting the actual name or what you would call that, but I saw that. I said, so this is the game we're gonna have today.
But you knew that off the rip,
huh?
You knew that off the rip.
I thought it was gonna get ugly. I said, if you let the Bears blood up, because the hole he ran through was enormous. It is funny because David Montgomery told, we were in the conference call, the Zoom call, he told Colleen Gain, he was like, you could have ran through that hole for a touchdown.
you know, and not to pick on her or something, just to say that, just to say that anybody could have ran through that hole because that hole was that big.
I said he was only going to get 6 carries after the game after that, and it was 5. So I was actually optimistic more than that came out. I don't understand why they don't get this man the ball. But continue with your opening statements.
It's just insane to watch the game go this way, because I thought to myself, why hasn't this happened before? Because this is not the first time that the Bears have played terrible teams. You know what I mean? That's my main issue, because some people say, oh, it's a terrible team. The Bears have played terrible defenses. The Bears have played terrible defenses, but the Bears have not scored like this beforehand. You know, if you look back at the Bears' schedule, the last 3 games, which are – did Mitch play the Packers game?
What? This year?
Yeah, it was his first game back. His first game back was the Packers game. That's right. Was that Bill Lazor's first game calling as well? So since then, they've scored over 25 points every single game. Whereas if you look at Nick Foles' starts before that, they only scored 20 once. You know, since Nick Foles started, only scored 20 once. So I begin to ask myself, could this season have gone differently if, of course, this is a foolish Bears fan thought, would the season have gone differently if he played? I mean, because think about it. Nick Foles had a good game in Atlanta. You know, we all saw it. He could have probably had 3 picks, too, if they hadn't dropped a few. But he had a good game. I asked myself, could we have been put in a better position as fans and them as a better position as a team had they kept Mitch in there? Bear in mind, of course, as I've said. And also, if Bill Lazor was calling the offense, could they have done better than this? I still don't think they're a good team. I still think they're a mediocre team at best. But could they have been in a better position than they are now had Bill Lazor been calling the plays beginning of the year? It's tough to say because we only have a small sample size. You know, Bill Lazor has been calling the past 3 games. But in the past 3 games, it's undeniable that the offense actually looks good. You know, the issue that you had in the Packers game and the Lions game was the defense couldn't stop a thing. The defense was playing with no passion. And this is the first game in a minute that they actually did play with passion. So I begin to wonder myself, could this all have been avoided? My biggest fear now is that they win out the rest of the games. Because what's the likelihood is Jacksonville is next?
No, Minnesota's next.
Sorry, Minnesota, then Jacksonville, right? You have a Minnesota game, which is it's a division game, but it's a winnable game. Jacksonville sucks. It's a winnable game. With the way that the Packers are winning right now against the Lions, they could be resting starters, or their starters could be playing for...
Or they still could be playing for home field. I mean, for the number one seed.
I know they did not just let Taysom Hill throw a long touchdown pass. Lord have mercy. Exactly. So it's hard to describe what's specifically going to happen, but could this – it's just – I don't want them to be in football hell. You know what I mean? I absolutely still want them to lose the rest of the game. And it's – I think somebody had, like, commented, because I run the Bigs page during the Bears games too. Somebody commented, like, I'm glad Mitch shut you clowns up. I thought I'd say, clowns? I'm like, man, damn, what did I do? I didn't know I said something specifically. But I thought to myself – sure, as a Bears fan, that's like you said, Scott. You tweeted out, I love Bears win, sue me. And I agree wholeheartedly. I do enjoy seeing the Bears win. Like, my week is going to be spent a little bit better. You know, before I get ready to watch The Mandalorian on a Friday morning, I might check out a few Bears highlights from the game. I will have a little bit of a sense of enjoyment. But at the same time, it's the other thought in my head is, the Bears need to find themselves a quarterback, and this draft is full of a lot of them. There's a part of me that does not want them to win, and that's undeniable because it's the logical thing to think. But it's tough because the fan in me will always say, will always be happy when they win. That demo, you know, I've gotten used to not reacting when the Bears do something good offensively. You know, I've gotten good with not, you know, cheering. But next week, the Bears will be away. I'll be at home and I will be cheering once again. And I'll have that, let's get it. Okay, yep, good play. And I can't help but feel that way because I love the team. My main issue is, will the Bears pick a side? What I mean pick a side is pick a team to be this year. It's just that I'm talking in circles, but it's I'm happy they won. It's just when I hear stuff with Matt Nagy at the press conference say, you know, I think you've seen that we're finding our identity. I was like, nigga, it's three games left after this. What do you mean finding your identity? You should have found your identity weeks ago. So that's my take on it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, this how I look at it, man. I feel like we just need to look at it like this. First of all, I see a lot of, like I said, I love Bears wins because I want my team to win. And this is not a full tank no matter how much we want it to be. This team is not going to be a top 10 draft pick team. And I feel like we have much bigger issues than bringing in a quarterback. This is not a situation, I believe, to bring in a young quarterback. There's a lot of other issues. For Bears fans, I don't want them to win the rest of the games. So come on, this team ain't good. Let's get clear. The Houston Texans are one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Let's get that clear. They have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They have one of the worst offensive line, if not the worst offensive line in the NFL. Keep this game as a one-thing situation. I don't believe they're going to beat Minnesota next week. Of course, we'll talk about that on our preview pod later this week. I don't believe they're going to beat Minnesota this week. Minnesota, I mean, technically the Bears are still playing for them, but the Minnesota has a better chance of making the playoffs than we do. I don't see them beating Jacksonville, maybe, but, you know, I don't think, you know, they're going to beat them either. Nothing about this team tells me they're finna go on the run. For the Bears to even have a shot to make it to the playoffs, they've got to win the next three games, and they have to hope a couple other teams lose. That's just not going to happen.
I'm not even concerned about playoffs. I'm talking about getting over 500.
Let me finish. But everybody's concerned like that's going to change the pivot plans of the Bears. I think the only thing that can change is it might save Matt Nagy's ass. That's a big fucking might.
Yeah.
Ryan Pace is done. He's a fucking goner. Okay, there's nothing about these. And I understand the pessimism. This is the Chicago Bears. I get it. I'm not mad at you for feeling that way or being nervous. It's the Bears. I think they've won this one. I think out of the next three, they'll win maybe one more. That's the most I'm giving them. Then they'll finish 7-9. They're not finna run off three in a row. I don't give a damn how bad the Jaguars are. I don't give a damn if the Packers probably might sit their starters. That's a big might because they're gonna be trying to be that number one seed, so they don't have to, you know, play an extra game. That's gonna be a big factor. So you know that I'm not really worried with. As far as Mitch, man. Mitch Trubisky, you know, if nothing has changed, Mitch is still a bad quarterback. Like, I was trolling on the TL, Mitch better than Deshaun, but Mitch deserves this game because of, you know, how hard he's been killed in the media. Now, granted, he deserved the way he's gotten killed in the media. You know what I'm saying? If he played better, he wouldn't get, you know, imagine you being the first really, really good quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. Ain't nobody going to kill you.
No.
If he was even somewhat decent, he wouldn't be getting killed right now. So, on that one, I get it. But just from a personal level, you know he works hard. Like you said, we know Mitch is a leader. Mitch has every quality you want in a quarterback besides him, the way he actually plays the game.
Except actually playing the game.
He has every intangible. He's a leader. He, you know, the locker room loves him. You can even see the reaction from the guys when he was scoring each touchdown. Them niggas love that nigga.
Yeah.
It's just something I haven't seen Allen Robinson smile all year. Smiled like a motherfucker when Mitch gave him that touchdown.
It's funny because I know that Allen Robinson and the rest of them, when quite a few reporters today asked, like, how do you feel about, you know, with Matt Nagy's job? They were kind of like, well, yeah, we always play for it, but, you know, we don't really pay attention to that. But then how do you feel about Mr. Biscuit? Is that, oh, man, you know, we always got a chemistry. We love to go see him work out there. I'm like, they like him because because he's a good leader, because he's a good teammate, from what we can tell. But it's like with Lovie Smith. When Lovie Smith got fired, remember, the players were freaking crying. Yeah. Remember?
Yeah, I remember that shit.
And I felt bad, but I was like, the nigga ain't it no more. He was an older coach with an older mindset that should not have been a coach anymore.
I mean, we always said, the Lovie thing is just like the Tibbs and the Ozzie thing. They should have been fired. Who that replaced with was a problem.
Yeah, of course. If you all didn't know, Lovie Smith got fired again
today,
which I thought was unfair.
With the Bears, it's unfair. I looked at the record. Nigga didn't have a winning team,
bro. The Illini are not a good football program, and here's what I mean by that. When you come into a football program as a college coach, you're expected to do several things. And I may even say that being a college coach might be harder than being an NFL coach. What I mean by that is you're expected to come into a team, into a franchise, which they still are a franchise, even if they're in college. You're expected to not only play better, change the offense.
You got to be ahead of the program. You got to recruit niggas and shit.
You have to recruit, not sign people to contracts with well-negotiated businessmen. You have to tell them, why do you want to come to the Illinois Fighting Illini? You have to do something that you don't have to do in the NFL. In the NFL, if you offer them enough money, you offer them the scenery, they're going to come here. But Illinois? Who wants to play for the Fighting Illini? Nobody. Bro, people would rather go to Northwestern than play for the Fighting Illini. Why? Because Northwestern is at least in Chicago. And so Lovie was expected in, what, 4 seasons, I think he's been, to come to Illinois and try to change the culture and then change them into a better franchise. But Illinois is just not an attractive place for prospects to go. If you want to change, I thought he finally started to turn things around culturally last year. He had some tough wins as a coach, and I thought it was a lot better than they had been in the past. This year, of course, it's the COVID's going around. It's just a different beast. I didn't think it was fair because the Illini are just not an attractive destination for anybody. when he first came into it, the Illini haven't had a winning season since, I want to say, Ron Zook back in like 2010.
Was it 79th in the Illini, nigga?
No, I just want to. Lovie's a former Bear, so this can. And since he got fired, I feel like it's a good reason. It's good of us to at least mention and save something since he was a former Bears coach. Relax, my nigga. they haven't had a winning season since like 2010, and they've been just hot ass for a very, very long time. And Lovie Smith had to come in and take a team that was just terrible. And last year, I thought they tried to turn it around. They even went to a bowl game. They hadn't been to a bowl game since 2014. You know, it kind of is what it is. But I mentioned Lovie Smith because it goes to show how players can like a person, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're the person for the job. You know, players like Mitchell Trubisky, players may like Matt Nagy, but that doesn't mean they should still keep the jobs that they are. So I want Mitch Trubisky to succeed, and maybe he's auditioning himself for another team. I still think he's good enough to at least have a contract in the league. So, yeah.
Mitch Trubisky will be a solid backup quarterback. He's auditioning because I just don't believe he's going to be on this team next year. That's pretty much how I look at it like that. But as far as what I was saying about the team, man, I don't think this really changes anything. Like, it's just one of those wins. Mitch is good for 2 or 3 games against bum-ass teams. We see this, and that's what makes it so infuriating. You know what I'm saying? I think that if there's anything that I can take long-term from this, and even you said, Joe, in your, you know, opening statements was, could the season have been a little bit different? I will say this. I admit it. I said it on Twitter. I admit it. I was wrong. Nick Foles should not have replaced Mr. Trubisky. I feel like Nagy was just waiting for any reason to take Mitch out, and Foles was there.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have did that. But this is also why, even if they do win 1 or 2 or 3 more games this season and finish 8-8 or whatever, that I feel like Nagy should still lose his job. You're a coach. You're supposed to know what's wrong with your team. Like, somebody was like, well, you said that Foles should start it too. Yeah, I'm not the fucking coach of the team. Yeah. I'm a fucking fan. I can be wrong. He can't. Yeah. He's around these niggas every day. He's supposed to evaluate what the fuck is going on. He should have known the offense moves better with Mr. Trubisky than it does with Nick Foles. Just look how David Montgomery looks. David Montgomery was a non-fucking factor when Foles was out there, to the point we was questioning if this nigga was even good or not. You know, Pierce called a nigga light-skinned Jeremy Langford. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was getting out of control. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was getting that fucking bad. So he should know that shit. He should have gave the play calling up to Bill Lazor months ago.
Yeah.
Not a couple games ago, months ago. If there's anything that stood out from this game, was the play calling. The play calling was beautiful. I know a lot of people was like, oh, well, it kind of tailed off in the second half. The reason I'm not tripping about that was because we were up by so damn much that I feel like he scaled it back a little bit. Now, that means I do believe he should have ran the football way more and said, you up. We up, what, 30-7 at halftime? Mm-hmm. And there was a couple good drives that were killed by penalties. You know what I'm saying? So, there's anything I could take from a long-term is Bill Lazor. But that's why Nagy should be fired. Nagy should know that the offense looks better. He sees Mitch every fucking day. He sees him in practice. How he ain't know that shit? Should have been getting the play call, not the Bill Lazor. So, I don't really care how many games we win the rest of the season. I feel like he should be gone. I don't think anything saves Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace is dead man walking. This is the sixth season. We made the playoffs one time. You got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go. You know what I'm saying? Look at all his player evaluation. Let's just say that Leonard Floyd does end up being solid, which I don't think he is. I think he's just fighting for his NFL life right now, and he's balling his ass off. But let's just say he does become a solid contributor for the Rams or another team that he goes to. That falls on Ryan Pace's lap, too. You're a bad talent evaluator. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that's even worrisome about it. You know, of course, I want them to keep losing the rest of the game, but I'm not going to sit up here and lie, act like I didn't enjoy a Bears win. I enjoyed it for a couple reasons. One, I just love when my football team wins. And also, it's good for morality. You got a lot of vets on this team. You think they like losing, nigga? You don't want your vets unhappy. You know what I'm saying? You want these guys to win. Khalil Mack, man, he's going to fuck around and have a quiet 10-sack season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and so for everybody who says, you know, oh, we should trade him. No, I love watching Khalil hoop. I'm going to play ball. Well, hoop, we niggas. Hoop means anything. I like watching Khalil hoop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love watching him play the game.
It doesn't mean anything.
It does. Yeah.
I love watching that nigga hoop, bro.
It's like, man, Tim Anderson was hooping last night. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love watching him play. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a generational talent. Everybody tell me we lost the Raiders trade. Have y'all niggas seen the Raiders?
Not good.
They almost lost to the Jets last week, and they're getting their heads bust in by the Colts right now. Them niggas are literally a game better than us. And at least we made the playoffs during the time we had Khalil. And our problem was we just got a shitball quarterback.
Basically, yeah.
And you think what's their running back name? Johnson. What's his name?
No, I was going to say Jalen Johnson. Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs. You think Jacobs, that's going to stop you? You're in the same division as fucking Patrick Mahomes. You're done for the next decade. You're finished. That man threw three interceptions today and they still won. You're fucked. I don't want to hear about, you know, we lost the Khalil Mack trade. No, the fuck we didn't. So I don't want to hear that shit. I love watching Khalil. I love watching Akeem Hicks. I love watching Eddie Jackson. By the way, Bo Jack, you had a pick today. Should have held on to that shit.
Oh, no, I was like, he gift-wrapped you that pick, bro.
Jalen Johnson is a fucking beast. He got hurt.
I think what I learned this week is that I'm not losing sleep on Deshaun Watson.
Oh, not at all. Hear me out. Bro, can I finish my? That was my next point.
Oh, yeah, my fault.
But the reason I enjoyed the win so much, because I didn't want to hear about Deshaun Watson this, Deshaun Watson. I already got a little of that shit with Pat. You know what I'm saying? Deshaun Watson is not in the Patrick Mahomes category. So when they do the 30-for-30, when they do the 30-for-30 10 years from now, when the Bears fucked it up, just make sure it's only on Patrick Mahomes. Okay? Make sure it's on Patrick Mahomes. It's not going to be on Deshaun. And I like Deshaun. I like Deshaun a lot. But stop it. And not only I tweeted this. Deshaun Watson probably wants to be on the Bears as badly as the Bears want him on the Bears fans want him on the Bears. He's in a terrible situation. The Texans are in a worse situation than us. Them niggas ain't got no draft picks. None. He signed that max extension, which I understand. He's had mad injuries, mad ACL tears, and with that offensive line, you need to protect yourself financially. So I am not blaming him for that at all. But with that being said, you made your bed, nigga. Now you gotta lay in that shit. So I'm not, you know, I just felt like I didn't want to hear that shit all week. I knew people was gonna say, oh, could you imagine doing that? Huh? Mitch balled out. He balled his ass up. You know, these grown man bars are something you gotta deal with. It is what it is.
If you hear that from Scott, then you know it's actual props.
And I don't like Mitch. We're not gonna sit up here and act like Mitch is a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. Obviously he's fucking not. Obviously he's not. The situation that Deshaun is in fucks him up more than Deshaun's play.
Bro.
But Mitch balled out.
Yeah, I've never seen a quarterback run for their life like that.
Yeah.
I looked and I said, there's nothing happening. I said, someone like Duke Shelley came in today, backup since Buster Screen was out.
I thought he played solid today.
He played well. As a nickel dude, he went 1-on-1 quite a few times and was locking down. I'm like, bro, there is nobody on the Texans for Deshaun. He has a body. And the worst part is that in order for them to do anything, they have to break down and rebuild completely around him. And they don't have the money, nor do they have the draft status to do so.
Draft capital.
The draft capital to do so. I just feel really sorry for him that he has to go through that because there's nothing there for him. And I know he's looking at the Bears like, you sons of bitches. You could have had me there. And we, of course, we would be better with Deshaun Watson. We both understand that. But the worst part about this is the fact that Patrick Mahomes is as good as he is. You know what I mean? That's the issue. But even with that being said, Mitch Trubisky balled out. And you can, we're not going to take that away from him because he looked good today. But you know why he looked good today?
Why?
Simple plays. Simple plays. First down, slant, throw it. First down, in route, 5 yards, throw it. Run it outside with a counter. Three-step drop, find the man. You know what? Take a shot. Keep the defense honest. Oh, they did it again. Design run to Mitch. All right, after that, run a post route and hit the seam in between cover two. Like, those type of things are simple, simple routes. Oh, okay, you need about four here. They're probably not going to expect it. Let's run a brief little delayed screen. Like, these type of things are the sign of a simple and good offense. So that's what I've been saying about Sean Payton. He's done it for years.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's what Sean Payton does. That's how Sean Payton has kept the job for 15 years. Keep it simple, stupid. And honestly, Sean McVay does the same shit.
Oh, yeah. Because
Jared Goff sucks. Jared Goff is Mitchell Trubisky, who's 6'5", with a bigger paycheck. That's the only difference between them niggas. And my man Tom Waddle says the best shit ever. KYP. Know your personnel. Matt Nagy don't know who the fuck he got on this team. You see how Bill Lazor's using Komet? Komet looks good when you use him. I forgot Jimmy Graham was on the roster. He's using him. He's using him. It's like when fucking Foles got in there and everybody's like, Foles and tight ends. Nagy said, you know what? Fuck that. That's exactly what it was, man. KYP, know your personnel, and keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. And he does not do that. Matt Nagy is a fucking war criminal. And if anything, I feel like you got to blame Nagy more than you got to blame Mitch for this whole mess.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, man. Nagy, and I'm just glad y'all finally seen it. Remember, I was on this earth. I'm going to keep bringing this up because y'all niggas trashed me. I saw the jig. I saw when we were having fun in 2018, club dubbing, I was like, something ain't right. Something ain't right. And y'all tried to kill me. And I was like, something ain't right here, dog. So I'm just glad people finally seen what I've been saying about Nagy and Ryan Pace, man. And it's Mitch might go somewhere else and be better. I don't know. Coaching means a lot.
He just may, but I do know that there should be no dramatic changes from the original idea that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace would both lose their jobs.
Put your phone on silent, sir.
I can't help it that I'm a popular person, bro.
Then put it on silent, nigga.
Bro, you got at me again. I'm coming to Cali. Right.
Good luck.
But there should be no drastic changes from the original plan. And that is to fire Ryan Pace, and that is to fire Matt Nagy. The only person who may have earned his chance to be back on the team earned himself another chance to find either back on the team or find himself another job is Bill Lazor. Because people might look at Bill Lazor, other teams, and say, man, if he could make Mr. Trubisky work in that few times, maybe he'll be good for us as an offensive coordinator. So I think people who are auditioning for a job is Bill Lazor and Mr. Trubisky. Mr. Trubisky is making sure he can have himself a job with another team next season. And Bill Lazor is also doing the same for himself. But my fear is that, of course, Bill Lazor will get the entire job because that's just it's as bare as it gets. Interim full coach. Which I would be fine with them making him interim for the temporary and then hiring somebody else.
What you mean, for next year?
No, no, interim for the rest of this, this season.
You already know they're not firing Nagy. Nagy's gonna ride this wave out right now.
And I understand it because there's three games left. Who cares? Especially since the chances are not – the Bears don't control their own destiny, you know. So, I get it. I just – yeah, I mean, I watched this game today, and I have to admit I was – as I said earlier, I was filled with joy. And I was on Spotify by the time the fourth quarter started.
You said something I want to talk about. You tweeted – Nobody pays attention.
Devontae Adams.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
Lord have mercy. What you got to say? I believe he is entering the top five territory.
Oh, yeah. We're making progress.
Because there's literally nothing he can't do. I mean, he's a possession receiver. He's a yak receiver. He's a go-up-and-get-it receiver. He can do all of these things. He just took a quick little... That wasn't even a bubble screen. It was like a drag route, a little out route to the flats, and he just took that 15 with a juke. He is a phenomenal player. But go ahead.
What I was gonna say was you tweeted something about this earlier during the game. Nobody even paid attention to kicks anymore. We were like, oh, he got it.
Yeah, I don't pay attention.
Niggas ain't did that since Robbie Gould.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, he's easy money.
I saw the stats that Kyle Santos is the first person since first person to have 18 field goals in a row since Robbie Gould had been with the Bears. That just goes to show you how long it has been since the Bears have managed to do something good on kicking. I really want to find the Bears send the stats after the game. And they also will send like notes of what a player has done. And I want to share that with people. Here we go. Post game notes. And what can I find? There we go. Cairo Santos converted on both field goal attempts to extend his streak to 18 consecutive makes dating back to week three. He is 21 of 23 on field goals this season. The last Bears kicker to connect on 18 plus consecutive field goals was Robbie Gould in 2006. 2006, dog. Making 24 straight in weeks 1 through 11. Also, I do want to give a shout-out to Khalil Mack. 12 tackles. This is the sixth time he's had 10-plus tackles in a game this season. He also had two sacks this game, which puts him at 4 sacks on the season, and he had 2 additional tackles for loss.
You said just, 2 or 4 sacks this season?
He has
you
4
meant
sacks.
Roquan Smith. You meant Roquan Smith.
Yeah. I did say Roquan. I'm
you
sorry.
Said Khalil Mack.
I'm sorry.
I was like, Khalil got more than 4 sacks.
Roquan Smith has a four sacks on the season. So, yeah. And Khalil Mack had his third forced fumble this season. 22 forced fumbles since 2015 are the most in the NFL. And Darnell Mooney is 42 receptions on the season. I tweeted this earlier. He needs 4 receptions to break Harlan Hill's record of 45 receptions by a Bears rookie wide receiver. That's the record is 45 receptions of a Bears rookie wide receiver. It was tied by Johnny Knox, and I think Johnny Knox first year, obviously. But that goes to show you. And then on top of that, Mitch Trubisky is 68 yards for being the Bears' sixth all-time passing leader.
It's terrible. It tells you everything you need to know about this franchise.
Now, the funny thing is, if you were to go to look at the Bears' running back list, that would be a very hard record to break.
Two things the Bears never had problems with. Great running backs and great defense.
Yep.
It's quarterbacks and wide receivers. Which in today's NFL are key. Like, you don't have to have an elite back anymore. Backs are really, running backs nowadays, they're a novelty.
Yeah. No, I believe it 100%. I wish the Bears would understand that it's time for them to come into the 21st century.
Right.
And make sure that – and now, of course, it seems like since the Bears have tried to come into the 21st century, that it's either or with their quarterbacks or even with their offenses. It's either we're going to run totally or we're going to pass totally because Matt Nagy does not run. David Montgomery, was that his second carry or his first carry when he took the 80 yards?
That was his first carry.
First carry. After that, he had 10 carries. If you just broke off an 85-yard run, I might give you 30 carries that night. You know, what am I waiting on? I remember when the Bears had a chance to put up a, I want to say it was, could have got more than 30 at the half. And I was like, okay, it's a minute and 52 left. Run the ball. Get a little bit of time off. Let them take their own timeouts. And up, pass, pass. I was like, come on, dog.
You know what's petty at the end that I didn't like that really didn't matter?
What?
The fact they didn't go for that 53-yard field goal at the end.
They should have kicked that.
Like, kick the shit, bro. What the fuck are you doing?
You know, the funny thing is this game should have been a lot worse than it was. This game could have probably been 49. Should have
been a 45-7 type shit.
You know what I'm saying? It could have been a destruction if the Bears were to play this like a good team does. But, of course, the Bears do not play like a good team. Anyway, who is your player of the game today?
Easily Mitch, man. It's not even a question. I even think this game is more impressive than this game against the Cowboys last year. Because even Cowboys last year, he made some dumbass throws.
True.
I saw two dumbass throws today.
I did. That was two throws, and I was like, okay.
It was the first time I've actually seen him run. Like, that's, you know, this thing that's the biggest mouth practice since Mitch. I feel like he got hit by Harrison Smith week 11 in 2018, and Nagy just stopped running that nigga. Which is another reason why he's a fucking stupid coach. Because it's football. He gonna get hurt, nigga. He can't throw. So use his best asset, his legs. Keep it simple, stupid. Taysom Hill can't throw. What does Sean Payton do? Makes him run.
Yeah. And when Taysom Hill has to throw, the lanes are open because people are expecting him to run.
Yeah. That's all. So my player... I want to play and play the game. Gotta get to give it to Mitch.
I give it to Mitch too. He had an outstanding game. I want to give you all his final stat sheet so you are aware of everything that he did. But I will have to give it to Mitch. He balled his ass off.
And before we get out of here, man, I want to send thoughts.
Hold up. Mitchell Trubisky, 24 of 33, 267 yards, 3 touchdowns, longest was 35, 126 quarterback rating. Also, Allen Robinson did cross 1,000 yards today for the second consecutive season, which is, I talked to him today. I had like quite a few questions. It was pretty cool to get the chance to talk to him before the big time journalist got into that Zoom call. It was 9 receptions on 13 targets, 123 yards. His longest was a 35-yarder. In addition, Cole Kmet got in with 7 targets today, 4 receptions. And David Montgomery had 11 attempts, 113 yards, and 1 touchdown. Continue what you were saying.
Before we get out of here, man, I want to send thoughts and prayers to our boy Jared Payton. He said he tweeted today that he had COVID, so I want to prayers up for him, man. Make sure he's good, man. And, of course, man, you're always the homie, man. We always keep you in thoughts, prayers on him. We want him to stay safe. We want everybody to stay safe, man. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, shout out to Jared Payton, man. You know, get better soon. Take care of yourself and everybody. Remember, this is a pandemic. It's affecting people differently. You never know how this is going to work. This has been a Bears Victory podcast. You will hear this on Monday. It has been almost two months since we had a victory podcast. So part of us is dumbfounded right now to the point that we don't really know what to do. So spend this time and enjoy this week because you probably won't have it next week. Anyway, man, we will catch you all next week. Bear down.
Yes, sir.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Gold Belly? oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect Valentine's gift. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So, if you're looking for a Valentine's Day gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.